On the November 14th edition of WINA's Best Seat in the House, Jed Williams talked with Virginia basketball coach Dave Lato. Lato talks about the 93-90 win over Arizona that opened the John Paul Jones Arena and about the work his players have put in so far.
Coaches are trained really to never enjoy the moment. You've always got to push forward. You've always got to be looking at the next thing and trying to win the next game. But after the Arizona game, with all that went into that night and that performance, did you allow yourself to stand back a little bit and even for 5 minutes enjoy what happened?
Yeah, Jed, I think I'd be lying to you if I didn't take some time to soak myself up in the moment. And particularly, there were so many people here, families, friends, recruits, my own personal family. So after the game Sunday night and even a little bit yesterday morning, although we were working, you know, just to reflect back, because there was so much put into this event and this evening, and so many people that were worked long and hard, in particular people at the VAF, and just making this thing a reality, and both Craig, John Oliver, and the staff in our administration. And so I think when you think about all those things, you have to do it with a sense of accomplishment and a sense of pride as to what we were able to do.
What about a sense of awe? Everybody that comes in here has that wow factor about the building, and certainly the wow factor was off the charts on Sunday night. Was there ever a quick moment, timeout or before the game or at halftime, where you looked around at the spectacle, the fans, the noise, and just thought, wow, this is pretty cool?
Yeah, not really. You know, I did get caught in a moment a little bit with the introductions.
Yeah.
and that got me a tad. And although I knew, you know, it was coming, obviously we talked about the timeline, but, you know, just to see it and just the feeling that it gives everybody, or gave everybody, and especially me, and to see Jack Jones there and how proud he is, and then the whole Jones family, you know, that is probably the one time that I got a sense of what this building was about, and the awe that you mentioned. But once we threw up the basketball, it was all basketball.
What about the Michael Buffer introductions? You, like me, watched that heavyweight title fight Saturday at the Garden, and 24 hours later, let's get ready to rumble.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And the good part was no one knew he was coming. And so it was equally, from that sense, great. But fortunately, I've been in a game where he's announced and done the same thing, so I've seen the crowd reaction before, and so I kind of chuckled and laughed when I seen our crowd get hyped up when the spotlight shined on him. But obviously he has as unique a voice as there is in the world, and I'm just glad we had him. It was part of the pageantry.
Dave Lato is with us. With all the things we just talked about, the pageantry and the spectacle Sunday night, I guess the word it comes back to is poise, having poise and composure in that moment. Mm-hmm. How did you talk to your guys during the week about handling a situation like that? Because obviously as the game progressed, they handled the moment very well.
Yeah, you know, inwardly with the team, what we really talked about, especially at the end of the week and the two or three days leading up to the game, is that, you know, we practiced for a long time, for many days. We've played a lot of games. And, you know, if we're going to call ourselves a team that has some experience, then events like this really shouldn't bother us. It's still a game. You know, they're 5-on-5 and they're referees. And that's the kind of way I tried to get them to approach it, realizing there were so many things that I couldn't control that were entering into their mind and my mind. And so it was very difficult. I can tell you that it affected all of us, including myself, in some way. But we were able to work our way through that, to overcome it, and just, you know, to play the game, especially at the right time. And as you saw in the first half, I think it affected us some, and I give guys a lot of credit for overcoming that.
I guess the question is how, because it was such a dramatic transformation first half to second half. What were the biggest things that were emphasized in the locker room to get this team to change its mentality in the second half?
Well, the two specific things that initially we talked about changing from one half to the other is, one, we gave them a lot of fast break opportunities, both on made and missed shots. They were sprinting up the floor, getting early looks, which is something that we talked about during the week because it's something they do very well. The second part of that was they were controlling the offensive boards. We weren't boxing out, and they were getting not only second opportunities and scoring off them, but most importantly, they were setting the tone. Mm-hmm. And it allowed them to gain confidence, feel like they were in control, make more shots as a result, make more plays. And so we talked about those two specific things and just kind of, you know, allowing ourselves, hey, if we're going to play basketball, let's play it a certain way and be the aggressor. Mm-hmm. And I think once we realized that, an accomplishment, obviously the tone of the game changed.
And, Coach, we saw that in the second half with the way you played offense, 59%, only 3 turnovers, attacking the goal, getting to the free throw line. Did you feel with a quick-tempo team like Arizona that wants to run and press on you, if you can attack them defensively, maybe it puts them on their heels.
Yeah, with most teams, if you can go at some team's strength, you know, you got to have the equipment, obviously, to do that, yeah. Then that's an advantage. And, you know, when you work on certain things, in Arizona, don't, you know, I respect them a ton, and I don't know or profess to know what they do every day in practice, but I know one thing, they concentrate on putting the ball in the basket, yeah. And getting up and down the floor and being versatile, and they're very, very good at it. And so figuring that maybe there are other parts of the game that they don't spend as much time on, if we could attack them in those areas, then hopefully we'd have an opportunity for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Dave Leto is with us on the Best Seat in the House. Let's talk about second half defensive game management. You had some foul trouble with Lars, mm-hmm. some foul trouble with Pettinella, and they've got a good big guy inside in Radenovic. Mm-hmm. How did you manage that situation defensively?
Well, you know, again, just trying to be a little bit more balanced between man and zone a little bit more, because, as you mentioned, the foul trouble that both Ryan and Lars had gotten himself into. And fortunately, even when we were in man-to-man, Walters was a guy that was a little bit afraid of, because he's a low post presence, back mm-hmm. to the basket, and our post defense without those two guys in the game wasn't very good, because we only had Jason to go to. But fortunately, even for a guy like Radenovic, he's more of a face-the-basket kind of guy, and they played him more at the five and the interchangeable parts between Williams and the rest of the guys that they had out there allowed us to kind of try to do a better job of controlling the perimeter. And I think we did a really good job in the second half of controlling the perimeter better, forcing them to be later in the shot clock than they were in the first half. And fortunately, they didn't make as many shots, and we were able to get rebounds and play offense.
I think we as fans and media probably take some of what Singletary and Reynolds do for granted, because they make it look easy and they do it consistently. But the intangibles of those two, the toughness and grit in the second half, Dave, seemed like it was off the charts.
Yeah, you know, and Sean is going to be here throughout the year, obviously, and I don't want to put too much on his shoulders, but you know, I haven't been around a guy that plays the game with the kind of spirit that Sean and both JR as well play with, you know. And I jokingly tell Sean that he plays the game like a free safety. You know, he takes a Troy Polamalu look at things, and he just is all over the place, and he attacks and he attacks and he attacks. He just does it with sneakers on. And I think he showed that on Sunday against a rival of his, a hometown guy in Shakur, and he was very much up for the challenge. He did some things, and I had to stop and think about it and talk with my staff about it, that he's been in and out of practice, you know, since we started on the 13th of October. Before that, he hadn't really done anything competitively since last March. And so it's simply amazing. And I realized that when he went up and dunked the ball. And I hadn't seen that out of him in over a year. Mm-hmm. But it speaks to the adrenaline that the building gave him. It speaks to the magnitude of the game. But more importantly, it speaks to his heart.
Mamadi Diani, is there anything more satisfying for a coach in terms of individual player development than when you push that player and you push him and you push him and you push him, and he treats it the right way and keeps his head up and goes to work every day and really responds to your teaching the way he did?
Yeah, I like to think that that's, you know, a credit to him, obviously, as you mentioned, and it's a credit to what you try to do with young people. And it's not just coaching, it's teaching. And I believe, and I'm old school in my thought process, that tough love sometimes is the best love, and I've been tough on Mo and probably will continue to be. But as you do that, you have to make sure that young person can understand why you're doing it. And I think one thing he has going for him, he has a high level of intelligence. And so I think he understands, doesn't always like it, but he understands why I challenge him sometimes the way I do, because I want him to be the best that he can possibly be. And Sunday night was a reflection of that he responded and proves my point a little bit.
Sure.
As to why I do the things that I do, not just with him, but with all the guys. And so, you know, developing their bodies, their games, and especially their minds is something that we're trying to do for everybody, and hopefully this is one example of it that worked out well.
Final thought, the Arizona game was exhilarating, but now it's in the rearview mirror. Got to move forward, and now you have 7 days off. It's interesting, the structure of the schedule. This week, how do you balance getting the guys well, because you're a banged-up basketball team, with also keeping them focused on the fact that there's more basketball to be played next Sunday?
You know, it started right after the game. We talked about it, and enjoying the moment, but, you know, it's very early, and we haven't accomplished anything, really, other than win a basketball game in the eyes of what 30-some-odd games means. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to continue to look at it that way and get ourselves back on our feet and use this week to get healthy, to use this week to maintain and our focus and just get more and better rhythm in what we're doing in practice, so when it comes to next Sunday, we'll be ready to play as well.